B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. Woo! Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out the latest in esports news over at the news desk with Sarah Skopic.
And that's also where we're starting.
And that's all that we're going to get to today. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
The boss of Platinum Games, Atsushi Inaba, is apparently not thrilled with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlett. While he said they're fine, and by that he means faster and less load times, he's also lamented that it's just more of the same.
Ooh, the shade.
He doesn't feel like they're very innovative or disruptive to the industry, but he's been very impressed with the advancements in cloud gaming.
Listen, I completely agree with him. I think, as Nate has said on this show many times, that we may be reaching sort of the pinnacles of graphical fidelity.
Yeah.
I think we're coming out of the uncanny valley at this point to where we just accept it as a real person almost. And the thing is that cloud gaming, cloud development is the future of this industry. Not being hampered by your hardware and what you have at your home or at your desk is going to be a thing of the past, and that's where we're going to see the true innovation in gaming come from.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, in pushing the limits of what is practical for the individual user to have on their system, because, like, already there are games that have impractical sizes, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have
two Blu-ray games coming out next year.
I totally understand, but if you have Elder Scrolls Online installed on your computer, you don't really have room for a whole lot else unless you're rocking, you know, like a terabyte or something, you know what I mean?
Beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, like, you know, it's a very large game, and games are only getting larger, so in order to support something like that, you've got to go towards cloud technology.
PUBG is finally implementing a long-requested feature in the form of a ping system. They're calling it radio messages and will allow players to quickly ping loot on the ground, request ammo or medicine, tag care packages, relay their location to teammates, or signal where they'd like to go.
Thank you, Apex Legends.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I don't think
Let me slide in PUBG.
I don't think I realized how important a system like this was, because obviously Fortnite adapted it pretty quickly, and it's important for battle royales, but I've even found myself in other multiplayer games, like, instinctively hitting what the ping button was in Apex. I only played that for like a month.
Right, I'm trying to remember back to like what it was like playing League of Legends before there was a ping system, because that was a time, and I can't imagine playing that game without the ability to ping anymore.
Yeah.
Ninja has closed his first book deal, and in fact is actually a three-book deal with House Publishing. His first book will be titled Ninja Get Good, and is set to publish in August. With the deal, he becomes the first major streamer to publish a book.
Yeah, but
the first? Really?
The first major streamer, yeah.
That actually doesn't
surprise
me.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I'm almost sure Fatality or somebody like that has wrote a book.
Probably, yeah, that's probably fair.
Daigo has a book.
But I mean, like, I can't believe that there hasn't been someone to write about, like, the business or the,
if that's what he was writing about, there's time. Yeah. His first book, what was it? Ninja Get Good.
It's about, like, tips with
secrets
games
to
and
success.
Stuff. Yeah.
His second book, though, The Ninja Notebook, is like writing prompts in like a sticker book and stuff like that.
And then it's a graphic novel.
And then his third one, Ninja, the Most Dangerous Game.
I mean, get your checks, man.
It's going to be a graphic novel series.
Get your checks, man. Book 4, Ninja, the Art of the Deal.
Jeez.
XQC received a one-day ban from PUBG this week, following some unusual play patterns. He was streaming normally, but was banned after he left a match. The ban was supposedly due to an inordinate number of reports for cheating, and the footage did show him killing a lot of people in a very short amount of time. Either way, the ban has since expired, and he's returned to playing.
Yeah, something like, there was like one run where he was like on a boat, and he killed like 20 people in like 20 seconds. Like, he blitzed through a ton of people.
Oh, XQC, how far the mighty have fallen.
That said, like, I mean, he might have just been playing well in that moment. I don't know.
But your reputation precedes you, man. And I'm pretty sure people saw that kill feed light up and was like, oh, no, report it.
Yeah, no, and isn't this exactly what we talked about when he was making a reputation for himself in the Overwatch League and running off at the mouth? This is exactly, when you paint the target on your own back, it's really hard for me to have sympathy when someone hits that target.
Mm-hmm. Last year, the Men's World Cup had a great event in FIFA that saw players able to pick a team and play through the tournament. This year, they've created an event for the Women's World Cup, and it's not quite as good. The event does include all 24 teams competing as well as the branding, but players are only able to play in the grand final.
Listen, this is the suckiest, most suck, awful crap that they've done in FIFA in a long time.
It's so backhanded because, you know, the women are so entertaining to watch, and the play is so, I don't know, it's better to me.
Let me tell you why it's double dumb. Is because in the previous Women's World Cup, they had a whole mode. It's already there. They just had to put a new skin on the mode that they already programmed 4 years ago.
That's pretty unforgivable.
And they could have put it in this game.
Boo.
And they didn't do it. They could have just reskinned the men's mode.
Wow. And it's shocking, too, because, I mean, you look at how well the women's U.S. team is doing right now and how many headlines and stories are like...
It's breaking records in viewership.
You would want to support that, I would think.
And that's the thing. Like, we're seeing women's sports in America, like, shine in a way they really haven't before with the women's U.S. national team.
Maybe it'll come out at the end of the knockout stage as a surprise mechanic.
Following the escalating tensions between the United States and Iran, League of Legends is no longer available in either Syria or Iran. Players trying to access the game in those countries are getting error messages saying they can't log in due to U.S. laws and regulations. This is a pretty extraordinary thing that hasn't been seen in esports or gaming before and could set an unfortunate precedent.
Yikes. I'm not sure what to make of this. This is...
it's a U.S. company, so I can see how that might, like, if they're blocking, like, all U.S.
Maybe they're blocking IPs. I just don't know. Like, it's very confusing and a little bit dismaying.
I mean, it's worrisome to hear that sort of thing. Like, I would hate,
for sure.
If we, like, you know, tensions escalate with Japan at some point, and then suddenly any Japan IP can't be accessed in America. That'd be terrifying.
That's a terrifying scenario.
Popular YouTuber Etika was found dead this week in New York. A missing persons report had been filed for him on June 20th after a series of disturbing videos alluding to suicide were posted to his secondary YouTube account. If you or anyone you know is experiencing suicidal thoughts, please call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
This took the wind out of me and out of a lot of people. Please, if you guys are struggling with any sort of suicidal thoughts, call that number. And also remember that this social media stuff is very serious. Yeah. These things are not stunts. Take social media, suicidal thoughts and all those things very seriously.
Yeah, take it at face value, yeah.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We're gearing up for a big year in video games. While the summer is typically kind of slow, this fall will be the biggest in recent memory. And one of the biggest points of interest is going to be cloud gaming.
Yeah, investors are really starting to ramp up behind Microsoft here. No one's looking at Microsoft with a ton of interest in Project Scarlet. However, xCloud is drawing a ton of interest from the investment side of things. Like, like Google, Microsoft has a massive worldwide network that can support game streaming. But unlike Google, they also have a massive backlog of games and companies and IPs that they own. Mm-hmm. So the question is, like, you know, we all kind of, I don't want to say we brushed over xCloud, but there was definitely a sense of, like, we heard the name, went, ugh, and, you know, moved on. We've given a lot of attention to Stadia. I kind of want to talk about xCloud for a moment.
Well, and especially now, you know, knowing that they have some sort of plan to work with Sony in some capacity, that does give them a huge leg up over what Google could potentially bring to the table.
It does, but at the same time, we haven't talked about xCloud because Microsoft hasn't told us much about xCloud. You know, they had a massive opportunity, in my opinion, to take some of the win out of Stadia sales and really deliver some sort of counterpunch, and instead, what we got was Game Pass, which is fine for the right now.
Sure, yeah.
But I think, you know, you got a lot of investors moving in for something like this. But at the same time, they haven't necessarily been given much to go off of.
How likely do you think it is once we actually get into, you know, Stadia versus xCloud that once again Microsoft ends up playing second fiddle to another company?
Well, and I think that there, you know, I think you're right, Robbie. And there's kind of, you know, the importance of getting there first, right? Like Stadia definitely got there first, gave a big presentation. We knew technologically that it was going to work. And the big question mark always with Microsoft is, how is it going to run? How is it going to function? Is it going to be smooth? Is it going to be intuitive?
Sure.
Because all of these issues have been issues for Microsoft in the past. So, you know, when, yeah, you look at the two, when you're comparing the two, like, I definitely think Google getting there first with Stadia is going to make a huge difference.
Sony's a major player here, though. A major player. And depending on where the chips fall with Sony, yeah, we heard about the agreement with Microsoft, but we don't know their relationship with Google right now. Sony
and we,
could play a big part here.
We have no idea on a content scale where Sony is thinking, right?
Like, right.
We know that they're willing to support Microsoft from a technological standpoint, but in terms of, like, their IPs, the stuff that, you know, when at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road,
what
the stuff we
spend the money
really
on.
Care about,
yeah,
what's going to get people in the door, I don't know if Sony is committed to having it on the xCloud platform. If they are, then that's probably a pretty big boon to them. If they're not, if they're thinking about, you know, their own service, PS Live or whatever it is.
Now or whatever it's going to
be. Yeah, exactly. Then that may be an entirely different kettle of fish. But we want to hear from you. Are you interested in Microsoft's xCloud project? Let us know by connecting with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
The Fortnite World Cup qualifiers have ended, but you're never going to guess who didn't make it.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. So glad to have you along. Want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dive! Andrew Gamer!
Into the faster! Oh, another one! Oh, the third! What is this?
Esports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
The qualifiers for the Fortnite World Cup have officially come to a close, and everyone is now gearing up for the tournament to begin next month. One person who's shockingly failed to qualify, however, is Ninja. Get good, Ninja. He failed to make the cut for singles.
He's about to write a book.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is the guy who's writing the Get Good book?
What happened
to Getting Good?
What, was this a case of, like, he tried and failed, or is he just at a point now where he realized he doesn't need it?
No, he tried to qualify, and he did not make the cut in either the solos or the duos.
I do not believe.
So can we stop referring to him as a Fortnite pro and just now a pro streamer?
He's washed up.
Oh.
Time of the ninja is past.
No. I mean, he's just a Fortnite streamer now, right?
Yep.
Like, he's still a pro streamer, but he's a Fortnite streamer.
You can't say he's a pro.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, that's so not nice.
Ouch.
Despite not qualifying to compete, he's vowed he will definitely be in attendance. The World Cup is scheduled to get underway July 26th through 28th.
Yeah, the plane tickets are already bought. refund that in the hotel? I mean, let's go.
PUBG Corp has announced they'll be hosting a $500,000 international tournament this August. The PUBG Nations Cup will invite 16 countries to compete from August 9th until the 11th. That tournament will wrap up before Phase 3 is set to kick off and also give players some downtime after the GLL Grand Slam, which is set to run from July 19th through the 21st.
Looking forward to it.
I think that this is going to be a really fun tournament. I kind of lost track of PUBG towards the end of the second split.
Had anything to do with E3.
It probably had a lot to do with it. Now everyone's getting ready for the GLL Grand Slam. Definitely going to be tuning in for that. And throwing another international competition on there. Fantastic.
Nate, I got to ask you, how do you feel it once the Koreans get involved? Because their brand of PUBG is
oh, that is other level. Well, here's the thing, is I enjoy watching the Korean play. There's no English casting for the Korean League.
Yeah.
If there was, I would watch it. I would watch American and Korean. I would split between the two. But they play at a much more entertaining style. So that's what's so fun about the international competitions, is that you really get to like check that out. So that's always super fun.
I just hope they've learned their lesson from last year and they're not going to try and fill like a 20,000 seat arena, because that was at the World Championship.
Yeah, yikes, that was pretty brutal.
The cities for the League of Legends World Championship this year have officially been listed. The play-in stages will begin October 4th and will be held in Berlin, Germany. Group stages will also be held in Berlin, which will be followed by the knockout stages in Madrid, Spain on October 26th. The final two teams will advance to Paris, France for the grand finals on November 10th.
Now, Joe, have they always done this multiple city kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I would say for the last 4 or 5 years at least. Yeah. I mean, even when it was last time it was in North America, like there was a stop in Chicago and a stop all across the country.
That's really
like that.
It's a smart way to do it, because you're really putting a big footprint on a region when you're taking basically your big, you know, a marquee event touring around through the region. Yeah. I think that's such a smart idea.
Overwatch League could be in for a major change in Stage 4. According to reports, Blizzard will indeed implement a 2-2-2 roll lock for the fourth stage of the league this season. Teams were notified of the change at the beginning of June, giving teams roughly 6 to 7 weeks to prepare before Stage 4 starts at the end of July.
All right, Robbie North, I know you have a ton. Nate, do you want to go grab a drink while they talk for a bit? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
I can't even.
This
Norris,
is the dumbest
you take
idea.
This.
Listen, this is so stupid, and let me explain why it's stupid. It's because Overwatch is supposed to be a flexible game, okay? Because the meta is rigid. That's the players making a decision on what to play. They still have the option to play no tanks or all healers or all DPS if they feel like it. And guess what? That's what Florida did against San Francisco last week, and they almost won a map, okay?
Now, listen, you guys have your own show to be able to break this down. If you want to hear more about it, make sure you tune in for Low Team Damage. You can find that episodes of that over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Furia is under fire in the CSGO community regarding the contracts they had their players signed to. DK, a former player, gave some details on his previous contract, which include a $1,400 a month salary, a 40-60 tournament split, and a $200,000 buyout. Esports lawyer in front of the show, Ryan Fairchild, was quoted as saying, "The prize pool split is among the worst, if not the worst, I've ever seen." In a twit-longer post, Furia responded by saying the terms are not in line with their older contracts, nor the new ones that players signed to recently.
Yikes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, too, because those players, they've actually been all over the place. They just signed a 5-year contract with Furia, which, I mean, in CSGO, first of all, in any e-sport, that would be an insanely long contract. But 5 years in CSGO?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Specifically CSGO. That's... Wow.
Congratulations go out to Team Liquid, who emerged victorious at the ESL Pro Series Season 9 Finals. They defeated G2 Esports in the finals of the event after sending Astralis home earlier on in the tournament.
Another victory for America.
The win not only nets the team a quarter of a million of dollars, but another meaningful accolade. For the past 406 days, Astralis has been ranked number one on HLTV's top teams. But as of the ESL finals, that slot will now go to Team Liquid.
All right.
All right, so we've heard it. We've heard the complaints that, you know, what fun is it when Astralis is just the dominant team? And they have been unseated. They are no longer ranked number one in the world. Now good. Team Liquid is. I mean, is that how you feel?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I look back at the, like, that really puts like 406 days into perspective for me. That's a long time to be
it
that
is.
Good.
I mean, it really is. But I got to wonder what was the thing that made the difference. Was it a team change? Was it,
it wasn't a team change.
Maybe be a meta shift? Two tournaments.
Could be.
Maybe. That could be. Or maybe just well could be. Some of the teams have finally caught up in talent.
Yeah.
Rocket League Championship Series 7 came to a close over the weekend. Despite only one European team making it to the Final Four, they were the ones who emerged victorious. The North American crowd was firmly behind G2 Esports, but it was Renault Vitality who took home first place in the $200,000 prize.
Wow. Yeah, Renault kind of ran away with it, too. It didn't really look that close through most of the series.
Dude.
And word out also to Scrub Killer, because Scrub Killer is a
Scrub
part of
Killer.
Vitality.
Oh, yeah. That's what's
now
up.
Now a champion.
Dude. It was like it was such like a turnaround too, because like in the first in the Final Four, you heard like the North American audience giving them like a polite applause as the only European team left, kind of like, oh, look at you guys, you made it. Then they go all the way to like the finals, and now everyone's really nervous, like, oh god, we're not gonna lose to them. And then we got smashed by
the
finals.
No,
come on, man. Yeah. Soccer's their game.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. The ESPYs are adding a new category to their annual award show this year. For the first time ever, they'll be including Best Esports Moment. And this year had some pretty good moments.
Yes. Yeah. So let's go over the nominees for the very first award Best Esports Moment. How about Sonic Fox winning EVO after switching sides
that
in Dragon
huge.
Ball FighterZ?
That was such a huge moment.
Great addition.
You know, and that was like one of those moments where if you weren't watching, people were telling you, like, if and you know, your friends know you're into esports, people were telling you to tune in for this.
Hey, are you watching right now?
Well, not only a lot of stuff around it, it was the first Dragon Ball FighterZ EVO tournament.
That's also true, yeah.
It was the two best players clearly in the world, so it was so dramatic.
That rivalry had been building for so long leading up to that, you know, to being on the EVO stage. That one's pretty tough to beat, I think.
All right, Team Liquid upsets the defending world champions Invictus Gaming at MSI.
I mean, listen.
It's not bad.
It's the magnitude of this one, considering North America's history at international championships.
Yeah,
that's
a very good point.
This was absolutely monstrous.
These are about to get less impressive.
Yes.
Cloud9 wins the CSGO tournament at the Boston Major? All right, I guess.
I mean,
it was a big deal in CSGO.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Let's keep it for real.
Astralis wins IEM Katowice.
Okay, this is the one that I have a problem with.
Yeah, go away.
Astralis has won so many, right? Why this one in
particular?
It
should just say Astralis.
Fair.
Just Astralis 2018.
Yeah.
Invictus Gaming win the League of Legends World Championship last year. Big moment, but I mean, if you're in China, I guess it was a really big moment. Over here in North America, we were all kind of butthurt about it.
Yeah, no one was terribly impressed by that, at least here on this side of the pond. So.
And lastly, the London Spitfire win the inaugural Overwatch League Championship.
Again, big, but somebody had to win, so...
Yeah, I'm still thinking that my contender is Sonic Fox.
Probably
like, I think Sonic Fox was so massive.
I mean, I'll go ahead and be the Team Liquid stand here. Yeah, I think... North America defeating the world championships, the world champions. I got to give it to Team Liquid.
If Team Liquid would have won MSI,
see, now that's different.
That would have taken it. That'd have been hands down.
Yeah, getting trounced in the only to get trounced in the finals. That's how the end of that story is. That's the end of that book, right? But with Sonic Fox, like his win at EVO, that's pretty much it. Like that's you're at the
he
top
won.
Of the mountain.
He's the,
you won
he's
EVO,
the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we're always looking to hear from you. We want to know what's your favorite esports moment from this past year. Or connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And respond to this week's social media question asking you what your favorite esports moment of all time is. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.